Lord in heaven, thank you, Father, so much again for Franklin and Cheryl and Etienne, and for their willingness, Father, to take the gospel to places that are not, sometimes not hospitable, are difficult, to say the least. Father, we are blessed beyond belief in this country. When you compare us to the rest of the world, we have no need of food or clothing or shelter, or we have all of that in abundance. So help us, Father, to realize what it's really like to depend on you, to depend on you alone. Father, it's said that to those who have everything, Christ is nothing. And to those that have nothing, Christ is everything. May we always keep in the forefront of our thoughts and our hearts, Father, that Christ is everything regardless of what we have. And now, Father, we do pray for this country as we talked about it in Sunday school class, Lord. We're on the ropes. Father, we pray that things would happen in this country, that we would undergo revival, that we would once again look to you for guidance and wisdom, that our leaders would come to the realization that in you and only in you can a nation be led properly to achieve greatness. Because that's what we did in the beginning. So, Father, we do pray for our country. We pray for this church. We thank you, Father, for its presence still here. We thank you, Father, for the faithful believers that are here. And we thank you, Father, for the faith that you have given us, because we know, Lord, that it is a gift from you. It's not something that we seek. It's something that you have given us. We thank you for that. And now, Father, as we continue, as we hear from a missionary, Father, open our hearts, especially open our hearts. Open our ears and our eyes, Father. May we be changed by the things that are said here today that are brought to us from you. These things we'll pray in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. We appreciate that. At this time, we're going to invite ATN to come up, and we're going to let you take over and share the Word of God with us. Come on up, brother.
Yeah, I think that is okay. Well, it's still morning, so good morning. Well, it's such a joy to be with you again. And really, I'm happy to be able to share with you today about the Word of God. Well, do not worry about the sort of English I'm speaking. I'm coming from a country where we used to speak French. The French is my first language, beside the local languages, like the Mori, the Diula, the Fulani, etc. I'm struggling with English, but I mean, this will cause you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say. And today, I'm just sending you greetings from Burkina Faso, West Africa, where God is moving once again. And thanks to you all, because of your prayers, because of your supports, God is moving among the people. Well, shortly I will show you some slides, but I would like to go with you in the Bible and maybe ask someone to read for us a portion in Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20. And maybe my friend Ron could read it loudly for us. Not in French, but in the proper English.
Mark chapter 5.
Yes.
Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could find him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the tombs, or in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine were feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned. So those who had fed the swine fled, and they told it to the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, and sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. They began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the populace all that Jesus had done for him.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, we just read a story, and in the Bible there are many stories, but this particular story just caught my thought, my mind, and my thinking. A demon-possessed man. Well, not only one demon, but many legions. This man, I mean, at a certain time in his life, he was not able to live with human beings. The Bible said that he was even among the dead, wandering You could not even tie him with chains because he will break it. And he had no communion with human beings. Imagine the life of such a man. Sorry. Imagine his family. I don't know if he has children, but he couldn't even have communion with them. But what he was doing, well, any human being could not bear it. His life has no sense. I don't know if you hear about this song of Bob Marley. It is a black singer who is singing the reggae music. Singing, "No woman, no cry," in the reggae rhythm. And someone just make interpretation of his singing with a real meaning. "No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life. N-O, Jesus, N-O, life." But this morning, I would say, "No Jesus, no life." K-N O-W, no life. Praise God. If you know Jesus, you would know life. So, the man in our story just met one day Jesus Christ. And what is going to happen in his life is a wonderful thing, because he would be transformed completely. In a spiritual way, because Jesus will cast away all the demons. And physically, he would be transformed. He was clothed now with righteousness, sitting in his good sense. But when we read the story, it will bring us to what Apostle Paul said one day to the Corinthians. He said, "Who belongs to Christ become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." This man just came to experience a new life, clothed with righteousness, sitting now with human beings. His life now has a good sense. Now he is going to ask Jesus something special. He surrendered to Jesus in an honorable prayer. He would say, "Lord, please let me go with you." He is now free. He is now able to talk to human beings. And he asked Jesus, "Please, can I go with you?" But we read that Jesus said no. Jesus tell him no. And this is the beauty of the story we just read. We saw that Jesus accepted the request of the population of the region. When they saw that man healed and he commanded to the demons to go into the pigs, he accepted their request. And even he accepted the request of the demons, because the demons begged him not to send them out of the area, but to go into the pigs. But Jesus said, okay, let's go. But why Jesus didn't accept this man that can be just free to go with him? Sometimes there are some questions in the Bible that we cannot comprehend, we cannot understand. And we have many questions. And sometimes people would say, well, when I will be in heaven, I will ask God some questions. Why? Why? But I mean it needless. Because before the throne of God, we will not in need of asking him questions, because everything will be revealed to us. But for now, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and some verses 28, it says, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. God has revealed us some secrets, and we are accountable. What we cannot comprehend, I mean, we are not accountable. But he has revealed us some secrets. Anyways, we know that there are some spiritual laws that we cannot understand unless God himself reveals it to us. Jesus rejected the request of the man, the demon-possessed man, but now he's free, he's not demon-possessed. He just rejected his request, but he's going to give him a mission. And this is important for you and me. Verse 19 through 20, he said, go to your family or to your friends and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. The Bible says that the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus has done for him. Well, brothers and sisters, this man became a new creation. He had now a story to tell to his people. He has a story to tell to his friends. And I believe this morning that each of us has a story to tell. You have a story to tell. A story that God has written in your life. As far as you have become a new creation, you have a story to tell. How bad were we without Jesus? As I know, no Jesus, no life. But no Jesus, no life. Since we encountered Jesus, things have changed. Therefore, he is entrusting us a mission. He is entrusting us with a mission. Go to your people. Go to your family. Go to your friends and tell them what God has done for you. And the man did not hesitate. He started off to visit the 10 towns, as we read, and began to proclaim the great things Jesus has done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. Isn't that wonderful? This morning, I see myself in that story. Maybe you could see yourself in that story. When I was born, I was initiated to be a Muslim. And my father and mother gave me a Muslim name, Musa. And I practiced the Muslim religion. I prayed 5 times a day. I used to recitate some Quranic verses. Until I went to high school, and therefore the first time I heard Jesus spoken about. And I gave my life to the Lord. Since then, God has used me through different situations to proclaim his good news. He led me to France the first time. It's there I met the connection with Franklin in 1985. And after I completed my biblical studies in Denmark, I came to France for internship and even to be able to live there. But God has another project for me. He told me one day, go back to your country and share to your people, to your friends, what you have received. Let me tell you, Ron was just telling you about the life in Burkina Faso, in Africa in general, but particularly in Burkina Faso. Well, life is hard. The land is hot, dry. When we are talking about hot, it's really hot. I'm laughing sometimes when the temperature is just going up to 80s. People are just trying to ventilate themselves, saying, oh, it's very hot. I say, okay, come to Burkina. And I did have, in France, the opportunity to live there. But God told me, go back to your country. I didn't know what God wanted me, but I just obeyed. I obeyed to the voice of God, because among the 7 children, I was the only one who was able to go to school. So it means that I am the only one who is able to read and to speak the French language, that is the official language. And I am the first one in the family to come to know Christ. But going back to my country, living the good life in France, at that time I was just young, a young man, 24 or 25 years old. Now I am 55. So leaving everything, seeing the good life, what I can do, and even the responsibility they was about to entrust to me, I have to give up and go back to my country. If you think hard, you will say, no. God has given you an opportunity. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't be foolish. But I just obey. And sometimes, spiritual things, you have to trust and obey. I went back to Burkina Faso in 1991. And from that time, God has opened a door for us to have a ministry called radio, a tool called radio, to preach God's word, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to our people. Burkina Faso is a small country. I just imagine, I was asking to make compression, it's the size of Colorado. But there is living 17 million inhabitants and 65 different ethnic groups. And each group has its own language. You just imagine the French, the Spanish, the Portuguese, Italians, Afghan, the Russians, living together, all together, 65 different groups. And the percentage of those who have been to school, it's just at that time less than 15. So imagine God knew about everything. And why me among these 12 or 15% literate? Isn't that God? And because of him, I could stand on that stage and talk to you. I learned a little bit the English language at school and try to learn it also by your gate. But at school, as you know, you are just learning the written language, not the spoken language. So I'm trying to learn now the spoken language through the ear gate. And through the radio, what we are doing every day is reaching more than 1.5 million. Every day. And at the network, we are broadcasting for more than 30 different ethnic groups. So we still have some challenges. But I do believe that your prayers could move the hand of God so that what he has appointed us to do be fulfilled. I'm going to show you the beginning of the ministry of the radio and what really we are doing now as a radio, not only broadcasting, but we are bringing the gospel as it is written, because the gospel is life. And where the gospel get in, there is transformation, there is life. This is the logo of the radio. And we say Radio Evangile Development. Evangile, you know the word evangelist means gospel and development. We believe that the gospel is for the human being, transforming his body, his soul, his spirit. 25 years now that we are ministering to the people. The radio is our friend. It is the best tool that we can use to reach. If people cannot read, you give them the Bible, they will just hold it upside down. If they cannot read, they can listen. Every corner. We are ministering to people who cannot read, and sometimes they have physical issues. Why a radio, a Christian radio, in a poor country like Burkina Faso? I just told you. People cannot read too much, but they can listen through the word of God. So why I always say Radio Evangile Development, God's love winning Burkina Faso. I was born in a village like that, in a hut without any running water, without electricity, without any roads, beautiful roads like here in the United States. I was born in a family like that, but God just took me from this part of the country and bring me to the city and help me to be educated. See the radio everywhere. Even riding the bicycle, they could listen to the radio. This is the beginning. How we set the radio. 10 watts transmitter. That was just a little bit bigger than this book. And we couldn't reach beyond 3 to 4 miles away. But now this is our headquarters in Ouagadougou, where I am working. Isn't that wonderful? We just celebrated the 25th anniversary of the ministry. And the government sent his representative to come and to participate to what we are doing. We have received now three times certificate of recognition and plaques showing that what we are doing really, we impact positively people's life. This is the birthday, the anniversary cake. Not the birthday, but anniversary. And we are committed to tell the story of Jesus' love to all. Paul said, preach the word. And we are trying to preach the word of God. And our vision is that every man and woman hear about Jesus Christ in a language they understand, and they may be transformed by the truth. How do we do that? By sharing the gospel through the radio waves. Here are the solar panel radios and fixed tuned. So it's a fixed frequency. You come to Ouagadougou with this particular radio, you could listen to RET. You go to the north at Wayuguya, you could listen to the frequency in Wayuguya, but no other frequency. You cannot listen to the BBC or the Voice of America. No, it's just RED, our radio. And what we are doing, we trained the producers in the different languages, whether in Mori, in Koroboro, in Fulani, in Gurumanche, we train them how to build a radio program. And we equip them in a spiritual way. It's why many times we are happy to have some volunteers who come and teach the Bible to the people there. Now, what we do, we used to go outside now to the different villages. And we meet the people and we try to build a program on a subject. If today we are going to talk about health, we go to the village and we talk to people with a topic, we build a program. If we are going to talk about the environment, we go to them and we talk to them and we build a program. Here, it's about how to plant trees. We make a sort of quiz and people just answer to some questions. We record it and we make some edits and then we broadcast it. We give them a reward if they answer to the right question. The reward should be maybe a bar of soap or a bucket. Yeah. And they are happy to receive it. Now come the time we plant the trees. Because the desert is coming closely and so fast. The only way we have to fight against it is to plant trees. We teach them how to do it now. And you see someone with a military outfit. It's a representative from the government taking care of the forest and things. Because the government know the problem and our activity, they would send people to help us to teach people how to do it. Here are the ladies planting the trees. See how hard and dry is the soil. But we are planting the seed knowing that sometimes it will rain or the people would go to the lake or the reservoir and draw out the water and water the tree until it become a big tree bearing fruits or giving shade. after a year, see what it could happen. How green it is. And those trees are used to for food. It is nutritious. What we are planting, it's not just to plant a tree like that, but we target a tree that can be consumed at a certain time. Here, we are making some programs for children at the radio station, talking about how to take care of children or things like that. But we go out and meet the children in their different places. Franklin also knows that. And we talk to them. And we teach them. We share to them about the love of Christ. And this, we think that from childhood, if they know God, they will know him forever. Africa has some issues. You heard about the terrorism, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda using children as weapons. But we try to teach these children how to get in touch with God and to love God. Maybe Ron, just remember that the only bathroom you may have when you go to the village is the bush. We teach them the importance of sanitation. And sometimes we are backed by some organization that help us to have latrines. We build a latrine for the village. And I'm telling you one story. After we went to a village and teach about sanitation, an organization came to us and said, well, what you are doing is very good. We could help you with 5 latrines to help people. That was such a joy. So we went to the church and we built 2 latrines, one for male and one for female. And we go to the public place, that is the marketplace, and we built 2 also for them. And we go now to a mosque, the Muslim area. And we say, well, we are going to put a latrine in your place. Do you want a latrine? Well, they say, yes, of course, we do need it. And after that, the imam, this is the Muslim priest, he came to us with his staff and said, well, we thank you so much for what you have done for us. We Muslim, we would not do something like that for you. You showed us love. And believe me, now their children can come to our church. Water. Water is an issue in Burkina Faso. Not only when you just try to check shower and in the middle it's cut off, but even to drink, especially to have clean water. This particular well you see, like in circle, is a very old well. Animals have been killed in that. 2 or 3 persons have been killed inside. But people were still drinking the water. And reach beyond that is used to be called ATGB, they came for a visit and we talked about the problem. They gave us a well, and the mayor of the city begged us to put the well by the side of this old well. And more than 5,000 people are served. This well supply water for more than 5,000 people. This is a medical team that Ron may remember. Sometimes we go to the village with doctors, with nurses, with pharmacists, and our clinic would be under a tree. Isn't that Franklin? Yeah. Sitting under a tree, the doctor will be here, the nurse, and the pharmacist. The doctor would check and give prescription to go to the nurse and to the pharmacist, etc. And because of that, Muslims are one to Christ. I just told you that the imam and the al-mamu and the wazu came to us and said, well, thank you so much for what you have done. Now they are open to the good news of Jesus Christ. New churches are built. It doesn't need to be a big building, beautiful building, but even under the tree, if you gather many people, you become the church of Christ. This lady was about to commit suicide. See the cord? She was going to hang herself, and by passing through the radio compound, God spoke to her, go inside. She tried to resist, but God spoke to her, and she came to us, and we prayed for her, and she has been delivered, became a new creation. No Jesus, no life. She knew Jesus, so she knew life. The fruit, baptism, joy, and here is Father Franklin with, Papa Franklin with the grandchildren. Yeah, when he just crossed a road, hey, Franklin! And everyone would say Papa Franklin or Grandfather or Tonton Franklin, Uncle Franklin, etc. Fruit of the effort. And the Church of Christ is moving. We just express it in a church by dancing, shouting the glory of God. How could we do that? It's because of your help, because of your prayers, because of your concern for the souls, the lost. I always say that because Christ have transformed us and appointed us with a mission, we have to stand up and put hands in hands to fulfill his will, to witness to the world that our God, the God of the Bible, is the real God, the God of love. And that was love would caused me to become Christian. When my friend just told me that Jesus loves me and Jesus is receiving as I am. In the Quran, you want to read something like that. Because their God is a vindictive God. But the God of the Bible is a God of love. Love that transforms life. And thanks to the Francophone ministries, Franklin and Sheryl, they have committed themselves throughout the years. The ministry is continuing. We have a saying in Burkina Faso that if you haven't finished to drink the milk, do not swap your mouth. Meaning that until we stand before the throne of God, God wants you and me to spread out His good news to the people. May God bless you all.